Lou was scratching himself like an ape.
I saw that. He was monkeying around.
Yeah, yeah.
For the first like portion of that, I was only pretending to, but then I actually...
And then you're like, ooh, okay, feels good.
You have a very noisy jacket on. I don't know if you're wearing that.
It's a windbreaker, like all of these. Yeah.
That's his thing now.
He's breaking wind.
I don't move during the podcast much, unlike Brock.
How?
So.
I don't understand how you guys stay so still.
I mean, it's...
I stay pretty still. I'm just careful about the noise I make, I feel like.
I mean, Chris, the only thing, I mean, when he goes on the pewter and to research stuff, like, randomly.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Yeah, sometimes I have to do a little typing. Oh, is that your beard brush?
No, is that my hair brush?
Just a hair. That's what it looks like, an actual hairbrush. Both of you guys use beard oil, is that correct? Or beard balm? Is that what you guys have?
No? I need to get some more. I'm out.
I do have an oil, but I don't use it as frequently as I used to because it's okay.
It's only okay.
No, I don't mean the oil. It's okay not to use it.
Oh, like, your beard feels fine. You're not too worried about it. Or you're not shedding massive amounts of dandruff, beard dandruff.
No, yeah.
I have a problem with beard dandruff that drives me nuts sometimes. Every once in a while, it gets really bad, and I haven't figured out why, and then it'll just go away again.
I will notice it ever so often as well, and then it usually is when I haven't, like, because I'll shampoo my facial hair with the Dr. Bronner's. And that helps keep it, you get rid of all of that extra. Because yes, to your point, if it's getting bad, it can be completely terrible. even though I have relatively little facial hair compared to you guys, if I just like scratch my chin, it'll just be like, oh my God, like this is a disaster. Yeah, exactly. It's like, this is really bad. It's so bad.
You and I are both similar in that we wear black a lot.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. All,
so
always
it's
all
very
black.
Obvious.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I know I have like dry skin and it's Utah, so there's all that bullshit.
I definitely keep an eye on it whenever I've been like in my little cave at work where
yes.
You know, alone.
Yeah, do a quick check,
like, make sure, you know,
yeah look tidy.
Yeah.
Oh, I do need to let you know, Chris.
Yes.
Khao appreciated the picture you shared with
him. Nice. Yeah I'll send it to you guys too if you didn't see, but as we sort of alluded to in the last podcast, I don't think it ever fully was explained, but I saw Holly, who was a sophomore when we were freshmen. She was the RA in the all girls floor of our dorm where we all met fucking almost 19, almost 20 years ago. But I found, when I was looking through old documents, an old photo of her also, of her and I. And so I sent it and posted. I was like, look here, these photos are like 18 years apart, which is wild. And yeah, very similarly, I, through looking through some of those old things, found that old picture of Brock, of you and I. I was just like, oh my gosh, look at this photo. Just
we
baby face.
So
I think you're baby face. I don't even think you have a beard at that. Maybe a tiny goatee.
I have my douche goatee and then
the Guy Fieri.
The unshaven
douche goatee.
Stubble. Yeah.
The Guy Fieri. Brock definitely
had
the Guy Fieri.
That's what I sported look. Also back in college.
It was the standard, to be fair. Now, clearly the standard is like either full beard or like mustaches. I think if you had told any version of me ever before the last couple years that like mustaches would be like a thing that are so common,
for
I would have
real?
Laughed at you. And I obviously have one too, but like so many people I see, it's like very normal now that people have like either just a solo stash or like the handlebar.
It used to be only like police officer's stash or porn stash. That's it.
Exactly. And all of us either had, yeah, like, well, now I guess we're calling the douche goatee the Guy Fieri, really, like the little chunk in the middle, or just the bottom, like just the, you know,
how about
the chin
just the soul
goatee.
Patch? That was a thing.
Just
too.
The soul patch was the worst. Like,
it'll probably come back, honestly, considering the way everything else is coming back.
I mean,
so.
There's only so much you can do with facial hair, right? Like,
that's true. I mean, and I think leaving it is kind of the way a lot of people, obviously you guys are like, and now I will do nothing to my facial hair.
I don't think mutton chops have come back, right? at any point?
I wish, you know, I could grow that more, because I would definitely do some of those weird, you know, like stoner,
you know,
rocky kind
of
looks.
Like, favorite style that is around now is the whaler, where there's no mustache and it's just all
like chin. Yeah, kind of like, yeah,
not
you look
a
like a guy from the past, like
I
just the chin
like,
strap.
I also don't like a thin strip of beard hair.
I mean, that's kind of all I got, so it is what it is for me.
No, yours is, it looks more natural, but I'm talking about the very thin,
like people
groomed.
Yeah,
not coming in natural at all. That's like a deliberate choice, and I'm like, no.
Question for you, Lou, on that note too, like, do you have like, do you kind of fade from your beard to your, because you shave your head, not always, obviously. It looks like, it tends to look pretty tidy though, you know, as that
I
kind
haven't
of guy.
Today, I actually groomed today, but I normally do. I do like a like
kind
a
of faded
two
in.
Up top.
Yeah.
Up
do
to, like,
you
a
shave your own
point,
head?
Three, four, what's up?
Do you shave your own head?
I do. I don't do like the razor, because there's always a little bit of that shadow, because I don't
You don't go full shiny, full shine.
I don't do full shiny.
There's a YouTuber I've been watching more recently. I've always watched his videos, MD Fish Tanks, I think is what it is. And he's like a guy who does, obviously, freshwater aquariums. But yeah, he's got basically the Lou facial hair and and shaved head. Yeah. But he, like, I'm pretty sure he does completely shave it and also sometimes waxes it. So it's, like, very shiny.
No, like, I really, like, when we all get together, we should get Lou's head shaved and waxed.
Completely. I mean, you do, you know, you like, you got to moisturize it at least, right? Otherwise, it's got an ashy head.
I'm absolutely not opposed to it. It's just that it's more, a lot more work, right, for me. And I'd have to do it every day to kind of like upkeep it, or at least
in
like
some ways, you have the best hair. I think you and Brock are almost tied, just in different ways. Like, maybe yours is even better, because I remember when I had like the mohawk and I'd shave a lot of my head. It's very low maintenance to have no hair. It's just like, oh, well, you don't like use a lot less shampoo or no shampoo, I guess, you know, just keep it simple.
I do miss how much like conditioner, especially that I used to use as a short haired person.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, that's obviously what happens. Like, you know, I cut my hair off again fairly recently, like 8 inches. And so, yeah, the first week or so first couple times I wash my hair, you're like, oh no, this is way too much. Like, put it back in the bottle if you can. Like, oh God.
I have this thing with like conditioners and certain like public bathroom soaps that there's always this feeling of residue, like, you know, that it's like I have to get it off and I'm like OCD about it. And that's not what you're supposed to do with those things. I think it's meant to leave a little bit.
Sure. Kind of like a moisturizing.
Yeah. Residue. Especially with your hair, right? Because you're not supposed to like dry, basically remove all of what you just placed on.
Yeah. You're not supposed to destroy all the oils.
I had this like urge to like, why is there, I still feel it. And I'm like,
you got some sensation issues or whatever you want to say. Sensitivity.
Lou, you're bald. So I'm going to ask Chris.
Sorry. I just like, Lou, you're bald. Just kind of like such a, like, okay.
Do you,
like,
yeah. Do you ever use like leave-in conditioners or anything like that?
Not anymore.
Nah, I'm talking to you. You're bald.
Wait, you're talking to me?
Yeah.
You just said you. Do you?
Yeah, you made it sound like you were asking him a question.
You're bald.
No, I said you. I said Lou, you're bald. So I'm gonna ask Chris, but you guys are laughing.
Yeah, we got interrupted by the Lou, you're bald statement.
Brock, you have hair, and you're a dick.
Does that make me a hairy dick?
To answer your question, I will, after I shampoo and condition my hair, which is somewhat infrequently, like I don't wash my hair all that often. Sometimes I'll put like a spray, like type of leave-in. I have like a handful of different ones. Nothing super fancy. Cause I don't know. I've had friends ask me that. And sometimes I've thought the older I get that I might want to get into that a little more just cause I don't know. The older I get, I feel like my hair's not as nice as it used to be. You might not have that problem because you've just been growing it out for a while. I feel like the first time a guy just kind of grows their hair long, it tends to be so nice. And now that mine's been that way for a long time, I'm like, not as nice as it used to be. Might need to take better care of it. Or it's just, I don't know. That's just what's happening. We're falling apart.
There's some truth to that. And on that disappointing, depressing news, music. Welcome back to Mike's Hard Gamecast. My name is Mike Brocklips Brock. Joining me are a couple of my friends on this auditory experience. I have Lou and I have Chris.
Yeah, at least you said Brocklips that time. I feel like this is the same joke you did, I'm pretty sure, the last podcast.
It was, yeah.
And reducing all of our introductions and everything.
I mean, it might just be the new norm.
That's true. Maybe this is the pre-40s era. Yeah.
You should extend it and then add on like Mike's Hard Gamecast is recorded in our
like NPR style.
And all that like information.
Yeah. At first I thought you were saying I should extend the gamer tag portion and start adding like titles I've earned in World of Warcraft.
No, my god.
Mike Apocalypse, the Slayer.
We already have Garage over here, you know. That's the main thing I remember from last time.
No, I'm not. Let's let that
it's
die.
So okay, true.
Nope. Let that garage. Die. Have you been in the garage?
We were doing a pug the other day, and somebody just called him Get, and we were all looking in the chat like, what is this dude saying?
Yeah.
Dude, we realized that he was talking to him.
Yeah. I guess I have a question, since I don't know this. Are capitals a part of gamer tags in WoW? Like, if you can you capitalize it, and does it stay, or is it always all caps?
It's not all caps. It's however
you
want. But
I don't think you'd have capitals in the middle first. Of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So that was my question. But in other words, you could do like geta and then a capital R for the, that would right. make
no,
more
it's
sense.
Like grammatically correct.
Yeah. I see. So it's a capital in the very beginning, and then it just leaves it.
World of Warcraft only allows one name as opposed to other games.
Oh, like no spaces, one in other words. Yeah, no spaces. It has to be a single thing. That is confusing. Especially if they don't know you, I guess. Get.
Which also makes it harder because you can't have the same name. You have to have a unique name.
Oh, yeah, I guess I see what you're saying. Sure. You can't be like a Brocalypse. Well, like, you've did that, didn't you, Lou, where you had like Geta and like numbers after? Or no, that's in AFK Arena.
That's in Lost Ark, but also AFK Arena. Lost Ark.
You did that in Lost Ark? You ran out of names in Lost Ark?
Lost Ark, I have Geta, and then Geta plus the number of the character that was created. So Geta 1, 2, 3, but in different languages. So Geta 2 is in English, but Geta San. Because Japanese, is three, and then I have Geta Yeti in different languages,
I'm going to be honest, that might be my most disappointed, I've been in your naming scheme.
Hey. But people don't realize.
Because normally they're crafted around the character that he's playing, right?
The class. I didn't know enough about the classes when I made them. So.
And sometimes it's hard to, tweak that into it. I've seen him go over it for a while trying to find a good name.
Change names a little
and
bit here and
he just threw that out the window. I'm a little disappointed, but that's why Lost Ark is
what
a terrible game, and now you're playing WoW.
Look what happens whenever I bring it back with Geta Rage, because Rage is a big element of fucking warriors, and you guys
not
are
anymore.
Now you're Geta Rage.
When was the last time you had to worry about Rage as a warrior?
I didn't know that when I made it.
You could have been Geta Blade.
Hold on, though. Rage is an issue I'm trying to balance doing some DPS in Mythic Pluses and also trying to be defensive, which you have to, it's a balancing act. So it's not like I never have to worry about Rage, to be fair.
As a tank, though, you just have consistent Rage generation.
Yes, but also I could get unlucky with procs for my Shield Bash, which is one of my generators. I have to wait on a cooldown.
You could have been Geta Bash.
Oh. You went from being upset at him abandoning the whole naming scheme entirely to being extremely nitpicky about how he chose him.
I think he meant with the numbers, specifically with
fair,
the numbers.
Fair, but I'm just saying it's funny that literally it was oh, you don't care anymore. And then when you tried, he's like, oh, well, you did a bad job. You should have named it this instead.
Well, no, it's only because it's Garage, right? Classic. Geta Rage.
I do Geta Rage. I mean, in the Geta Rage. That's where he parks his car, the Geta Rage.
He's the Mirage of Warriors.
Is that because he's never there? Or is he, though? I guess never there because, again, so let's let the cat out of the bag, where that when I jumped on the Discord, there was basically an explanation of hey, are you, is this the only day you're free? And I was like, yeah, this is the only day. And I was like, are you guys playing WoW? And you, one of you mentioned that the new guild you've joined, apparently raids on two different days, one of them being the day that today we're recording. And is this the first raid that you guys are a part of with this guild? Are you letting them down immediately is my question.
We didn't sign up for it. We just realized it was raid night and we had planned on raiding this week.
Just generally.
But we didn't sign up for it or tell anybody we were coming. So we technically didn't let anybody down. Okay. We just did the same normal thing that we do where we log on and be oh, it's raid and disappear.
There was no conflict. We thought when you popped on, we would just ask. And
sure.
No, see.
I just wanted to know. So again, and back to that. So this is a new guild you're a part of. Is it with all of our other friends, i.e. Phil and co? Or is it just the two of you joined a guild?
Eddie's in it, right?
Eddie's in it, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
So three of us are in it, and then the
other two... Wait, so Eddie is back to playing WoW? Is that also new news? Is that the biggest news of the time?
Didn't we say that last episode?
No, you didn't. You hit that one. Yeah. In fact, I made a joke implying that he was never going to join.
Yeah.
And you went along with it. So
he was already back whenever
he also caved. I knew
it. He's been back.
I knew it.
He also... He did the typical Eddie thing where he just, quietly leveled something...
And then appeared.
One day I logged in, he was max level and geared already. I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yep, okay.
Which,
by the
way, is a testament to the current expansion. It's very easy. Barrier to entry is very, very low. All you need to do is level a character, do a couple of, efficient world quests and stuff like that, like do a couple of dungeons, maybe a little bit of BG grind, you can play with your friends pretty quickly.
It doesn't surprise me at all that this has happened, and it's funny because I'm pretty sure we could probably find an episode, you know, two or three or four ago where I was like, hey, people are going to get back on WoW, and everyone's like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, no, that's never the way. Even if it doesn't last.
From the beginning.
It doesn't. Yeah, Brock was always a given, but, you know.
I have a WoW story.
It better WoW us.
No, well, it was, I'll say this. God damn it.
My laughter was mainly at Brock's expression and Lou's just like silent exasperation.
So it's my first failed Mythic Plus run since I started playing again in like, what, 2 weeks and a bit that I started?
When did this happen?
Oh, it's only really been that. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it happened earlier today, actually. I went to a +8
arcane ball. We should say real quick. So Lou is playing a tank, which is one of the pivotal roles.
Sure.
In the game. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just a lowly DPS, so I'm just there to kill things.
You guys never get fucking blamed. It's bullshit.
I thought you... Man, okay, maybe I just misremembered, because I was like, I thought... Whatever, it doesn't matter. All right.
Well, what did you think? Yeah. I'm curious.
I thought that they were looking for a healer at some point, but maybe I misremembered that, or maybe you were talking about somebody else.
Well, we technically have two healers, because we have Phil's brother... Which I don't know if he wants us naming us on this podcast, so I won't.
I've said it before, but...
Oh, okay. Who plays nothing but a healer, and then we also have Phil, who can go back and forth, so...
Okay. All right.
He's a switch hitter.
Hasn't Phil played, like, the same character the whole fucking time, basically? Yep. That's wild. Look at that guy.
Prior to you being able to switch specs, he actually leveled a second of the same type of character. He could have multiple specs of the same character.
Wow.
But now that you can go back and forth, he ditched that one.
Yeah, all right. Crazy.
But in his defense, he is literally the best Shadow Priest I know. He's the only Shadow Priest I know.
Well, also after 18 or whatever years, I would hope so. Playing one character for the whole time. Damn, that's crazy. So you were saying...
Just a sidetrack here. I do play with a friend on the Lost Ark raid that we do that has... There's a class called Gunslinger, and he has 5 Gunslingers.
What?
It's his favorite class, so he just, like... And not only that, but, like, so out of the 5, 4 of them are, like, above, like, 15-20, which means they can do, like, Brawl Shasta, the most current, like, raid, which is, like, stacked... crazy account, you know.
So, but is there any benefit to that? Does he share equipment between them?
You can trade gems, which is akin to, like, it upgrades or makes your spells more powerful, basically, and cooldown reductions. And then because, like, if you invest in upgrading your engraving for that class, it's across the whole roster, like in your account. So if it's +12, which is the highest level, it's like the legendary equivalent, I guess, of engravings, then he can use it on all his gunslingers. So it's easier to set up your accessories and stuff so that you have all your engravings set up. People who play Lost Ark will know what that means.
I know. I hope there's people out there who know.
let's go back. How did you F up a Mythic Plus?
Okay, so I didn't mess up, to be clear. We had a Holy Priest as the healer. And we had a really, really crazy, well-geared hunter, a subpar-geared shaman, and an okay-geared evoker.
Is okay or subpar worse in this one?
That's a great question. I would say subpar sounds worse, but...
Yeah, subpar does sound worse, but he came in last, so he might be throwing that one in as, like...
It's true.
So...
I like those ratings.
The thing is that both the Evoker and the Enhancement Shaman, by the way, were doing about the same amount of DPS. And the Hunter, leagues above. Like, more than half, most of the time, damage-wise, right? That's the disparity of, like, the eye level of these people, right?
Okay.
So the Hunter probably was, like, 410-ish. And they were probably, like, hovering around, like, 475 to 485, maybe, somewhere in there. Where I'm at. I'm at 485 now. Or, sorry, 385, sorry. Anyways, the Holy Priest, I didn't even inspect him. But we were doing all right. We had some big pulls. We did that one pull with the 3 whelps that are, like, patrolling that activate, like, the dudes. Two of us did die during that pull, and I think the priest actually let me die for some reason because there was a res going on, and I was like, why are you not healing me? This is a grievous week, which is, by the way, for Chris. So each Mythic Plus week has affixes that affect, like, things in the game. So in this case, we had, it's a tyrannical week with grievous and I forget the other name, but basically what that means is the bosses do a shit ton more damage, have more health.
Chris is very kindly nodding along like he understands what these mean. It's like, oh, that's cool.
Whenever
that's cool.
The other one is whenever the mobs die, they leave a damage over time effect on you that stacks depending on how many mobs you're killing. And then the other effect is if you are not topped off, you always have a consistent damage over time effect on you.
So is this, like, is this like, this only happens ever so
really,
often they put into
really
these
really hard to heal this one is what we
so,
but is
yes,
it
they rotate.
And, so it, how, and this is ever like ever so often they toss in these special conditions is what you're saying.
So how it works is every week the some of them rotate, but there's like one affix that's like a seasonal. So like there's one Mythic Plus season right now that's called Thundering. We haven't done any yet with that effect. But then every week I think it rotates between Fortified, which is basically like mobs do more damage, like the trash, and then Tyrannical, which is the boss is bigger and better.
Interesting. And so then, it's just like a little thing like, that they do to change it up.
Well, it's it, what makes it challenging, right? So Mythic Plus is the toughest challenge.
That's the plus of PvE.
Yeah,
that, I'm guessing.
So,
so basically,
there's different levels of it, and the higher they are. So if you're on like Mythic Plus 5, Mythic Plus 8, Mythic Plus 12, Mythic Plus 20, but the more levels you go up, the more affects are put in place. So you
might have one
affect in the bottom end.
Yeah.
Or you can have four affects on the top end.
Okay. That makes sense to me. All
yeah. So like baseline,
it's like a more
every,
advanced and varied
baseline.
Game
the higher the key, the more damage and healing they do to begin with, and then also you have the affixes added on.
But then you
so
get higher tier out of it too.
Yeah. So in this case, we were doing fine, kind of throughout. We had like those two early deaths, but then we were fine. We got to the last boss, no problem with that. Again, that holy priest. And then right away on the first mechanic, the last boss basically summons these like shard crystal things. You have to kill them, otherwise they detonate and do a lot of damage. And right off of the first wave of those, the priest immediately dies. And I was like, what the fuck happened? So of course, like we keep trying, but Grievous, again, you have a constant dot, like, and the lower your health is, the higher that damage is. So it's like pretty impossible. You absolutely need a healer. It's really hard. So then we went back, we reset, we still had time. So these are like time trials, by the way. The Mythic Pluses, you have a certain amount of time to complete it. The more time you have left over, the more your key upgrades in level. And so we went back, wiped again. We went back, one last try. We had like 2 minutes left. Wiped again. Always because of the priest dying.
Dang.
And so we ran
out
of time.
Because he has prayer healing, which should really help with that.
He was dying because he was being careless. He was just dying because he was dumb. So, like, you have those four orbs that are summoned, and they, like, follow people around very slowly, but you're also, like, super slow yourself because of a debuff. So probably one of those got summoned right on top of him or something like that. He kept getting detonated. It was just really bad. He kept dying. So anyways, we ran out of time, but we can still complete it, right? So we went back in, wiped again, and then the fucking priest is like, I don't want to grind this like it's a fucking raid, so bye. And then he just bailed. And so we ended up four-manning it to complete it with the shaman going resto. And we were fine. It was the priest all along. He was so fucking dumb.
Oh my god.
Are these just rando people? Or are they like...
Yeah. I was plugging it, yeah.
Yeah, okay, all right.
I just joined a random group because I wanted to get my score higher on the Mythic Play. So... I don't want to get into that, but there's like a whole
story. I am very curious, you know, gaming aside, the whole reason for bringing all this up was how is it all affecting your life? how is having WoW back in your life been affecting it positively or negatively?
Well, it's been nice to have a reliable relationship with Lou and the and, you know, Phil and Shalom and Eddie again.
Is that a joke or is that real? I can't tell if you're being serious.
I was serious. Like, we hang out and shoot the shit and
Okay. So they are showing up reliably and playing. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's good. No curry excuses yet. Is what you're saying.
It's at least like a few days a week that we're always kind of like hanging out.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I get it.
Like,
so,
and what we do depends on who's there. And as soon as we have everybody there, we're like, cool, let's go do Mythic Plus. We got all five of us. Like,
there you go. Just back to the way it's been. That's fun. How has that influenced your other gaming, Lou? You as the king of gamers of playing mainly mobile games, but you know.
So as far as mobile games go, I'm still doing AFK Arena. I'm not... For a while now, I haven't been super religious about it, meaning like I do skip certain events, or I take the easy way out if there is one available, where I get some rewards, but not all of the rewards.
Okay.
So I try not to stress about it, and it's been great training, and I was talking to Brock about this earlier. Mobile games in general are great training. Brock is showing off a big ship.
I'm assuming Star Trek ship.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, that's a cool design. So it's been great training to not be bound too much by FOMO with
commitments.
Lost Ark.
Yeah, commitments and FOMO. Okay, that's fair.
Lost Ark is extremely and heavily FOMO based play, because one of your main fuel for progress is gold, and gold generation is limited.
You just have to buy upgrades, right? You have to like pay for things that you might get an upgrade on. Like, if I remember correctly?
So it's very RNG heavy. You basically, like, it's called honing. You hone your gear. So what you do is, like, there's a certain requirement, and so you pump those requirements into the gear, which requires silver and a certain other currency. Once you have it pumped up, you can start doing taps. You're honing.
Do you ever play pumped up kicks while you're like raining in your
honing?
Like,
oh my god!
I was watching. It's funny. I was watching a streamer that he does two taps per song while he's tapping, and he limits it to that. And if it doesn't hit, he'll switch song to like try to see a repetitive.
I see. Yeah. Kind of like a gimmick. I do have a question before you go off into this too deeply, because like the specifics are less important. Point I want to get at. And I wanted to bring this up the other day, and I may have kind of, but I don't recall. So Brock, I remember when we were in like freshman year, at least, you like to play poker.
That?
I remember it pretty well. our drinking positions have reversed, I think, in the time since then.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
100%. Yeah.
But no, I recall that you used to play poker. You were one of the poker guys, you know, who'd play poker in the dorm. And so, and it was funny because I think, like last podcast, we did kind of talk about the idea of us all getting together. And another option always is like, we could go to Vegas, you know, like do a Vegas weekend. And Brock, obviously finances aside, like, is gambling something you still enjoy? And the reason I wanted to bring this up was like, Lou seems to be like, the things he likes in mobile games seem very conducive to be like the kind of guy who'd be like, you know what's fun? Gambling. You know,
I
like,
don't want
like,
to gamble. That's why I
really worry about him loose in that kind of environment. Because
that stuff doesn't appeal to me at all. We have had this conversation before, right? Where like I'm glad that kind of like, oh, don't you want to sign in for your bonus? Like that stuff, I don't like care about that at all on phone games or things like that. You know, it doesn't entice me. But clearly, Lou, that is a part of it for you, you know, where you get kind of, oh, got to make sure I sign in and get all my daily rewards and, you know, all that kind of shit. So
I will say that I do enjoy gambling, just, but I don't have a problem. Okay. Like, no.
I can quit anytime.
Every once in a while, we'll go to the casino for a date night.
Yeah. I was curious.
But
like, if
the
you
way we look at it is game. Like, we drop the same amount of money that we would if we had gone out to dinner or
put out a limit.
It's an experience and it takes a little bit longer time because it's a destination.
Yeah, yeah.
You sit there and sometimes you get free drinks and stuff. So it's we never put in more than what we were willing to spend anyway.
But
and
you actually, also enjoy we, doing it.
Well, we did the math on it because we've been tracking it because we wanted to know how much we've lost over time or how much we've won.
Okay.
And we did the math, and it averaged out that per date night that we spent doing this, we spent like $23. Like,
oh, wow, nice. No,
and as far as a date night for a married couple, that's the most affordable thing, great, and we love it. It's an experience away. We go to different places because we're kind of in between like three different casinos.
Yeah, you have lots of places you could go.
Nice.
I'm just so curious because like
it's always diversion and getaway, and it's always like a fantastical experience with lights and things happening. Sure. And, yeah.
But that does still appeal to you. And Lou, like, are you at all into that, or would you be like, you know, or have you ever been? Yeah, have you ever gambled or like in casinos at all?
Does that appeal to you? I think I've done like when I was much younger in this like all inclusive resort in Nicaragua. I did like a couple of slot machine pulls illegally, by the way. And
but who has?
But that's it. Like, I am generally pretty stupidly self-destructive, but not necessarily in like gambling terms.
I mean, I will say Lou's turned his life around financially too. Like, he's got a pretty good financial head on his shoulders now. I don't know if that's just because of his position though.
Did Lou have a financial problem? Because I mean, I know all of like I definitely did at times, and I know Brock, you definitely did, as we've talked about. Like, so
I mean, until I came here, I was generally. Like, I've supported myself over certain periods of my life, but not fully, right? I always had the backing of my parents.
Sure,
until basically I came here, where I was then
on I guess that's fair. Like, you were supported, at least. Even so, you wasn't like, they helped me out,
like, if I had any problems. Like, because now I have, like, a steady gig, and I've had it for a really long time.
Yeah, yeah. And you're making good money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good shit.
It's just interesting to see the way that, like, and we talked about this a lot on the podcast over the time, of, like, how do in-game tendencies translate to, like, real-world tendencies?
So, I think the closest parallel I can make is I've been in Konosuba, the mediocre days. I actually dropped, like, something like $100 on a banner.
Yeah.
Because I was, like, I didn't have enough... Because normally I save up for important banners, and then I can, if I need to hard pity a pull, I have enough to do that. So that meant equaled 80,000 quartz or whatever, that's the currency over there, which I didn't have because it was like kind of successive banners. I fell prey to one of them before, like a waifu banner. So then I was like, damn it, this is like an actually meta banner drop. And so I was like, well, I guess. And I kept like adding a little bit of money onto it. And not pulling until I had to, like, actually hard pity. So I don't know if that's
hard,
like,
pity mean?
So basically they give you...
Is that the feeling I have right now towards you? I mean, what's...
Whoa, dang. Shots fired, man. Holy crap.
I wanted to see if I could get Brock to react because he was distracted with cards.
So
now he's still distracted with cards.
You have a failure threshold. Like, you do X amount of pulls, and if you don't get the thing you're looking for in that quantity... of pulls, then you can basically they give you like a freebie where you can just get the character you're after.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Like that. Okay, that's actually kind of a nice feature. I feel like.
Yeah, it's just a lot. Like in it again, 80,000 is it's what was it like?
It's like in the claw games, like in some places where after a certain point they're like, you could just have this. they push the toy
you've
closer
like
to the hole.
More than like, paid for the fucking.
Yeah, yeah. All right, you just have this now.
My daughter's played so many of those, and she's really good at it. But now she just walk up to one and look at it, and she's like, this one's rigged. It's not.
You can usually tell. I know people who are really good at it too, and they usually can tell. Okay, it's set up a certain way. I know, like, this is gonna work. Yeah, and again, I think going back to the gambling thing. I'm not a very lucky person, so, I mean, that lends itself to not wanting to gamble, because it's not like I get enough reward from it, even, you know, like, enough to kind of, like, lead you along, right? Where it's like, I just don't win enough to make it feel like, oh, this is even fun for me to enjoy doing. Like, usually I'll just hang out and watch other, my friends gamble if we're at a casino.
I definitely used to gamble in Terra.
What about, like, interactive? Yeah, you did. What about, interactive... like less so the machines, but like card games and stuff where
I enjoy cards with people. I enjoy cards with friends more so in that kind of setting than
you seem like a craps kind of guy.
I always liked playing blackjack for a long time, and I was actually kind of decent at it, you know, like as decent as you can be, you know. Craps are fun just because you've rolled, like, there's things like that are fun, but yeah, I generally stick away from gambling, you know, like to your point, set like a pretty low limit. And either, yeah, if I'm hanging out with friends and we're all just trying to get free drinks or whatever, sure, I can like sit at penny slots and play poker for a while, like a couple pulls here and there just for fun to see if anything fun happens, you know.
I think that if we play D&D again, we should gamble while doing D&D.
Oh, and just in general, like with our own money and towards one another.
It's just that, like, that's the whole campaign is we just go to a casino and gamble.
And then just gambling, but like in character.
No, like if you're suggesting I'm gonna do this action, you have to say like you throw
put some money down.
Put some money down against the DM.
I mean, that is a good example of
the DM like, always wins. Yeah, kind of. Interesting. All right, let's move on. In fact, I think we've come to a point of time where it's almost interesting. Maybe it's interesting. Occasionally it's interesting. It's Chris's internet reviews of the week.
Lou is doing a panic face for all the listeners. All right, I got some reviews. I gotta say, and before I get to the reviews, I was looking for more. You know, almost every time I'm like on my phone and an ad comes up, I try to find another one. And sometimes you find gems with the ones that I save, and a lot of them just make me feel like people are real fucking stupid.
Yeah, that's
fair. And we kind of complained about this last time when we talked about it. Just this idea of like people complaining about stuff that has like nothing to do with the people who made the game. You know, there's like, I think the first one I ever read was like that. We're like, please restore my game. And I'm like, that has nothing to do with the people who made the game. This review is not helpful or useful at all. Or people complain about like the RNG of it, or like, oh, I can't believe there's ads, or why do I have to pay for this? And I'm like, so people make money? Like, yeah. what is this? Like,
you know, it's funny. Speaking of RNG, the numbers, like, most people can't, like, like, even if the numbers are mathematically correct as far as, like, the mechanics of how these pulls happen, it doesn't compute because you could just not have good luck. And sure. So people also think that...
goes back to the gambling thing.
But yeah, well, like, people, if I have a 10% assume, chance...
Right.
Yeah, people think, like, if I have a 10% chance, then within 10 pulls, I'll get it. But it doesn't work that way.
It's every pull, you have a 10% chance. Yeah, it's not how that works.
But it doesn't compute, right?
Well, and also, like
this isn't 10%. Yes, technically, you know, it's a 50-50 shot every time, but you could get heads 4 times in a row, right? Like,
yeah.
And I think also, I guess what constantly sort of surprises me, and I don't know how you guys feel about this. Obviously, there's a few games, right? Like the ones that Lou's playing, or like ones that you're playing, or any of the ones that I guess any of us play. There's some decent mobile games. There's also like a sea of trash.
Oh my god, yeah. Please do not play Star Trek League Command.
There's just so much trash out there. And there's all these games. And I wish I had... The other thing I noticed is definitely like either people are getting... Like I said this before. People are either getting incentive to give high star ratings or straight up obviously bots are rating the games. There was one I just saw. It was like for a Final Fantasy skinned like... kind of, you know, what do you call it? Like AFK battler kind of game. And so like the main thing was that it had a license attached to it. But every single review, with the few exceptions, was 5 stars and 2 lines of text exactly. 2 sentences only. And I was like, this is just so many bots. It'd be like, Cloud's so hot. This game's the best. And then 5 stars. And there'd be like, and there was like hundreds of those. And I was like,
oh my God.
Wow. Like, yep, that's just the system getting gamed. And it's just interesting to see how like, people seem so surprised by the quantity of shitty games, and also that like reviews are like people just don't understand the way the games work. I guess is really what we're getting at.
That reminds me, I watched a video of somebody deliberately making 2 separate types of ads for a game, and it's like a first person shooter game, like a strategy based first person shooter. And so they did one ad which was a legitimately badass looking like trailer type ad for like a cool shooter, right? And then they did the bullshit like stupid mobile game ads that you see on YouTube, or like the frustration of somebody not being able to solve a puzzle, showing that smarter than that person who's playing that game at the moment, and all of those tropes, like the sexy lady, the ridiculous stuff that happens. And actually, and then they put it out and put it to the test, and the fucking stupid one generated more interest.
It doesn't surprise me, because the other thing I constantly notice is, like, the ad will pop up, and there are, like, a handful of ads that just get recycled, but then you click on it, and it's a different game. You know, it's all the ones that I'm sure you guys, or anyone who's listening has seen, you know, like, There's just so many weird ones that are out there. And then you'll click on the ad and it'll be for a completely different game. And I'm like, what is this? Like, some ad company is just selling the same ads to everybody, I guess.
Well, you know what gets me now, too, is I don't know how much you guys use, like, Instagram Reels or TikTok, something like that. Oh, sure. Is you'll slide through there and there'll be paid advertisements all the time.
That's where I'm finding a lot of these.
And you'll find, you know, somebody that's, like, got a headset on and a computer in front of them. Oh. And they're all like, oh, I'm rating top 10 fake mobile games. And then it's just that same company trying to advertise.
It's just the ad. Yeah, like there are ads that are either cameos. I've straight up seen ads that are clearly cameos. Like, let's say, you know, Mike Brock, we were famous enough. You're like, hi, this is Mike Brock. And you should buy this game, this game. You know, it's like literally they just paid the guy to advertise their shitty game. Or yes, to your point, it's like the fake streamer kind of thing. Like, oh man, the best game in the world. It's just like this game. And it's like, what the fuck is this? Like, and I guess they all make money. And then what I often see from this also is that at a certain point, the developers are like, fuck it. And they do an update that basically wipes everybody so they can kind of start from scratch, which obviously pisses off a lot of people, but then gets new people to come in. I don't know. It's just really interesting to see some of the tactics, even just reading the reviews, like, because that's what I'm doing is usually they'll pop up on my phone when I'm, you know, scrolling the internet. And then I'll be like, okay, what's this? And then I'll try to find a good one. But amidst a lot of them are people with like either legitimate complaints or, yeah, like kind of queuing in on, oh, yeah, this is all a big ridiculous money grab. Which it is.
It is.
On that note, this review is for, ironically, of a game called Cash Club Casino Vegas Slots. Coincidentally, I suppose. The subheading, which I guess is a thing for the game, says play tournaments and win big. Okay, seems pretty transparent. It is for 17 and up, which is interesting. Ooh. It's the number 19 game in the casino chart.
Why is it 17? It's not quite adult.
I don't know.
What's the why is it cut off at
the
17?
Age ratings? Ooh, okay. We'll get to that. I think on the next one I'll read if you want me to do a second one. But so this review is titled From Troy. Yep.
Do you think his name is Troy or it's like he lives?
Well, their username is Troy TKO22, so I would assume yes. I know. Anyway, so this is the review. You should actually give us real money that we can cash out and put in our bank. That's how you can make your game better. You should actually, and it says that twice, pay us because we're the ones playing the game, so you need to pay us an actual money. Were you gave us the money, that's what everybody would like. That's the review.
That's the review?
Four stars.
That's the review.
I don't even know how to start that. Yeah, because there's no mention
stars,
of
right? Like, the game he's being clearly, good or bad. He's clearly dissing it all, but he just wants the money, and he's still going to play it, even if he doesn't get the money. I'm saying 4 stars.
This is a 1 star.
Actually, it's 5 stars. No, oh my God.
That makes a lot of sense.
like, this person is just like, please give me money, I guess.
Five stars.
Which, again, really goes back to this idea of, like, do you understand how games work? Yeah. Like, what is this? Like, maybe all these people are children. Or, in my opinion, they're all just stupid. There's a lot of stupid
people. I want you to read another one, but I want to just tangent here. Have any of you ever, like, we just talked about gambling, do any of you play, like, the slot machine apps or anything like that?
No. I've played them a little bit in the past, like, but not, like, extensively or anything. I think this is, like, when I think about playing mobile games, I feel like back when I first had a smartphone, and it was kind of like, oh, here's some games, like, let's kill some time, kind of like the way you play solitaire on your PC, you know? And then as time went on, I was like, oh, yeah, this isn't really for me. I play Words with Friends with my mom, and that's pretty much the only game I play.
Did you ever play that one where you, like, not really, the running one, Jungle Run or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Like, see, down, that, yeah, I think back on, yeah, like, the Temple Run or, like, yeah. Flappy Bird. There was sort of an era,
Flappy Bird,
you know, like, of where there were a lot of mobile games, and they were, like, kind of in the zeitgeist, too, I feel like, among, like, people of our generation. I don't know who the fuck's playing these games now. I don't know. Especially all these random ass ones.
iPads.
I guess.
If I'm trying to look for a new game, I buy it outright instead of looking for a free-to-play. Because there's some finality to it, at least. Right?
I get you. Well, that's the whole thing.
Don't finish.
Yes, exactly. As we all know, Lou does not finish the games. We talked about this before that obviously the system works. Like these mobile games, I what I should look to now is I should go and see like the top purchases. I don't know if they still advertise that the apps, because that was something in our old podcast we talked about way back in the day with like World of Tanks and whatever. And I'm sure Brock with like little ships and shit, like, you know, I mean, people are obviously, there's whales in that game spending shit tons of money. So clearly most of these games do, most of the reviews will talk about like, oh, eventually it's not really pay to win, but obviously it helps if you do pay, you know, and here's how much money I spent and that kind of thing. And it's like, yeah, people are dumping a lot of money.
It's so funny because of how the game industry, especially these free to play mobile games, is very similar, I would say, to like a lot of Hollywood TV shows, where they are just simply, at some point, it's all about the squeeze, right? They're just trying to get as much out of it as possible. And so, like, for example, with AFK Arena, at this point, they've implemented about 4 new systems since I started playing it, and huge money grab, right?
Yeah.
And I'm now, I've been like completely and entirely free to play on AFK Arena for quite a while now. I haven't spent any money on it for a really long time, but there are so many complaints from the free-to-play players talking about like the power creep, right? Because as soon as a new system is implemented, any whale is going to get a humongous, ridiculous advantage over like the normal player base, or even somebody who's like a light spender because of the absurd prices that you need in order to keep up. And so...
Yes.
I don't, like, obviously I don't even attempt to keep up. I'm playing with myself, you know?
Yep, we do. We do know.
Yes.
Yep, everyone knows.
But he finishes that.
No. Only sometimes.
Consistently, no.
All right, let's get one more review.
Okay. Oh, let me just touch on the last thing I was thinking of when Lou was talking about that. Is that, right. All of these systems just pop up. All of these, like, Jesus. All that ends up happening, it feels like, with all these games, and I see this, the more of these random ass reviews I read, it's like a concept of a game is made. Like an AFK Arena, and then there's 1,000 clones of it.
Oh yeah,
you know,
oh,
or like you know, match 3 and all that shit. And a lot of those fucking suck, obviously, because we already have the gameplay. We'll just like steal the code or whatever, reskin it, sell it with sex or whatever, and then the game kind of sucks and people get mad. But they still download it and probably put a little bit of money into it. So it's almost like a scam call, but it works.
Realistically, if you get 1% of everyone that downloads it to spend $10, like you're fine.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, the development, I'm assuming, costs so little. Like, I don't even know. It's weird. Alrighty. This next one is for a game called, speaking of, Heroes of Crown.
Perfect.
I feel like a lot of these are, like, clearly made in China. The best 3D idol RPG is its subtitle. The best.
The best.
It is rated... Oh, it has no rating as far as its total in its category. More of the details are, win the crown in a breeze.
Why are
crown
you
and breeze are both capitalized.
Bro?
Breathtaking 3D graphics, idle without grinding, and win easily by auto-battling. Okay, sure.
It's an auto-battle, okay.
It's very confusing. Just wait. This review makes the game seem even more confusing to me. I don't know enough about games, though, so maybe Lou will drop some insight.
What, did you say the user of this?
Not yet. The user's name is Bob DaBird. Like, D-A, capital B-I-R-D. Bob DaBird.
Do you think he likes birds, or he's, like, flipping the bird?
Or he is a bird. I don't know. His title of the review is Way Too Softcore, comma, and a parody, comma, of Gotcha.
Sure. A parody of Gotcha?
Sure.
Okay, let's see.
Just wait. Widely, comma, Gotcha / idol style games, comma, are widely too softcore in terms of adult themes. That's right. I'm remembering this now. Or entertainment on mobile platforms, comma. There's so many commas here. Comma, on mobile platforms, comma, for my taste, comma. But the fun is finding the ones that will push the envelope as far as they can get away with it.
Ooh.
Period. Oh, also, this game is rated 12 plus, just so we know. It's not an 18 plus. Whatever, comma, the flicking fly swatter, comma, this swill, comma, I just played, comma, was seemingly so plastically rendered 3D, comma, and like an overly polished fudge dumpling, comma, trying to be a parody of the genre. I probably wouldn't have bothered rating it at all if it weren't advertised as being intended for 12 plus years old.
What?
I don't know why that matters. Unless the mildly suggestive themes are buried beyond the 15-20 minutes I gave it, I'm totally not computing that rating. What the fuck did he expect for 12 plus? I don't... Anyway. Actually, it seemed more nerfed than most of the G-rated content I grew up with. None of the characters I saw seemed remotely interesting or memorable. Okay. Frankly, comma, I wouldn't be griping about it, comma, if it were clearly advertised and marketed as a kid's game. Most stuff made for kids these days is utter tripe, comma, and it's not exactly news to hardly anyone. When I was 7 years old, I was reading Jack London's Call of the Wild, and there wasn't such a hard dichotomy between children's and other entertainment, comma, broadly, comma, within reasonable parameters. I hadn't reread that before I started reading it, and yeah.
What is he?
He's mad. He's mad.
I don't know.
He wants interesting but lewd characters.
I guess, and I'm confused because it's like a parody of Gacha, but it is a Gacha game, and it's an what is
How
he talking
do you
about?
Parody Gacha, Gacha. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
No, but yeah, it does seem like in the first chunk of it, he's like, "I want fucking more titties or whatever." I guess, and he wanted to write it very seriously.
He expected titties in a 12 plus game. Like,
as a connoisseur of lewdness, I'll say there's a lot of games out there that have, you know, what he's looking for.
Sure,
look for it in a 12 plus, like.
And I do feel like you see those a lot advertised.
Is the assumption that 12 is when the target audience would be looking for that? Would be baited by that?
I don't think I've ever had one of those advertised to me.
That's what I mean. Like, but this guy...
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. This whole thing, this whole review and his opinion on it is very confusing.
I wonder what the demographic is for those very stupid, like, lewd gacha games, though.
I mean, teen boys, to your point, maybe, presumably. But, like, they wouldn't rate it 12 plus with the understanding of, like, oh boy, it's going to be a lot of lewd stuff for all you teenagers. Like, that's not what the rating is. The rating does not indicate who they think is going to play it. It's theoretically who it's acceptable for.
This is a two-star.
All right. This is a two-star rating? Is this what you're saying?
That's what Lou says. Yeah.
That's my guess.
I mean, he's pretty upset that there's no titties. I'm going one star.
Surprisingly, and for the first time ever, someone got it right. It is a two-star rating. Oh. 2 stars. So congratulations. You did it.
And we actually have a prize. Means. I don't know if I didn't tell Chris this either.
There's zero prizes.
There's a prize for the first person that got it right.
I know what it is. Let me guess. I get to have my own segment on the podcast called... Lou's interesting question of the week.
Yes!
Occasionally interesting question.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations.
God, we've been friends for too long.
He just knows when you're setting up a segue.
Yeah.
Don't ruin it, Chris. It's our friendship, man.
Our friendship is magic.
Yeah, man.
My terrible segues are not obvious at all.
Sponsored by GetAthreads.com. Mm. That's it.
We would like to thank getathreads.com for sponsoring this portion of the podcast. We do ask that. I mean, seriously, you guys should go take a look at getathreads.com. You might be surprised what's there. Getathreads.com. Thank you for your sponsorship.
Are you guys familiar with Mr. Beast?
Yes, I ate
very
chocolate.
Is it good? I haven't eaten it.
It was actually really good. He touted it because it was like a 4 or 5 ingredient chocolate. Like, it's very basic. Like,
yeah.
It was tasty.
It's good. Have you tried Beast Burgers?
I have not tried Beast Burger.
Chris?
I have not either. No.
Okay.
I'm familiar with them.
Pretty good.
Very vaguely.
I had a weird experience with Beast Burgers in the sense that the first time I ordered it and had them with a friend at work, they were very, very good. Great meat.
Well, it's Ghost Kitchen. Toast. So I'm assuming the inconsistency relates to that. Like, just who you happen to get it from. Are you familiar with that?
Well, I mean, it's only for takeout, but I don't...
It's a ghost kitchen. So a lot of websites... So there's two things that are happening with a lot of, like, Uber Eats and places like that, is that some places will disguise their name, like Chuck E. Cheese sells pizza under a different name.
There's a restaurant
called Fats. So you
order
pizza from, like...
Does the same thing.
Yeah, there's so many like that. You can look it up. There's all this internet search behind that. But Mr. Beast Burger is Ghost Kitchen. In other words, like Applebee's can make Mr. Beast Burgers if they come in, like, they can apply or whatever to be the kitchen that makes them. But they're not the only ones that do it.
Right.
So in other words, one time when you order your Mr. Beast Burger, it could have come from, let's say, Applebee's, and maybe it turned out great. And then the other time you ordered your Mr. Beast Burger, it could have come from a completely different restaurant that was making it.
I ordered it in a different location, which then it came from a different location to begin with. So that one.
Sure. I mean, either way. But I mean, the point is that it's not like there's a Mr. Beast Burger.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean.
That's one person making it always. So you're not going to necessarily get a consistent experience.
So the one that delivers to my place is not good, whereas the one that delivers downtown was good.
Interesting.
It's my experience, yeah.
Sure.
It'd be cool to find out what actual restaurants those came from. So you'd be like, that's a good restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Exactly, yeah.
I mean,
anyway,
it tastes like
it shows on the map where supposedly they pick it up, so I don't know.
Who knows? I feel like there's a lot of interesting things with food delivery.
Shady shit. Mr. Beast, you guys are familiar with his content? Like, what he does? And like,
he does big videos that has a bunch of giveaways. Like, he recreated the Squid Games. He built, the chocolate factory from Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
I think... That's cool. I think for that video, he spent like over $1 million for that video.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Crazy.
So
being touted is he's going to be the first billionaire YouTuber.
Interesting. Okay.
So he started off with like, he started that trend of like incentivizing people to do stuff and giving money to them. So some people look at him in that vein where he's like, dance for me, jester or clown or whatever.
Sure.
Let me dangle my privilege in front of you so that you can get a little taste of it.
Where did his money come from? Maybe it's a tangent.
So he built up an audience, and he's actually been doing this since college, and he literally started, and he did basically kind of what the tech industry does, where you make something successful, then he retook all those funds that he made off it and reinvested it back in. Yeah, he just kept doing that to make bigger and bigger, 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 bigger content until it...
Huge amounts of money thrown into the videos and giving away stuff. And it started a lot of it... Like, the dude lives and breathes YouTube, the algorithm, studying how it works, what he can do, what he can target, and all that shit. And so a lot of... And it makes sense. It is a business, so he has to make the videos entertaining, which... requires a certain formula because of, you know, experience, right? Mm-hmm. And so initially, one of the critiques against him is that he gives away a lot of money to people that don't actually need it, which are a lot of his friends and other YouTubers. But there's like other, there is basically like he gives it to them, but then on the agreement that they're going to give it away to a certain charity, things like that. So it's not specifically to them, but it creates the content that gathers more people to view it. If they have these appearances, these YouTubers, etc., right? He's had his crew since like forever ago. They get a lot of that content as well. But he also has a lot of like random people participate. Anyways, that's just the setup. General
the gist.
Setup.
Uh-huh.
So he did a video relatively recently where he cures a bunch of people's blindness.
Okay.
You can look it up, Chris. And surrounding that, there was a lot of controversy on both ends. A lot of like Mr. Beast fans were like, you know, that's amazing, that's awesome. He is a philanthropist and he does a lot of like charity work and stuff. He has like a food kitchen that he donates a bunch of stuff to, and it's his own food kitchen he runs. So he is like, he does a lot of that type of work with a lot of the money that he makes. If you see somebody doing a nice deed, but it is filmed, right? And then they put it out for clout or, you know, karma or whatever on Reddit. The question is, how do you guys feel about that? Because Mr. Beast is like the epitome, I think, right, of that type of content where he's doing very, very cool charitable things, nice deeds, curing 100 people of blindness, literally, right? And not only here in the States, which is crazy that he needs to do that here in the States, by the way, but also, like, around the world, he did this as well. And so, does it diminish at all, like, what he has done because he's creating content around it?
Brock's got a big hand. He's ready. Yeah. He's got
who
things to say.
Who cares? A good deed was done.
Yeah.
Who cares if he profits off of it?
Okay.
Somebody can see that could not see before. That's great. right? Huge, like, right? Yeah. Like, that's life-changing for those people that had their eyes changed. Could he do more? Sure. Should we ask him to do more? No. We didn't ask him to do it in the first place. You shouldn't be forced to do more just because you did something. That's like saying you donated a dollar to somebody that was hungry and they're like, why didn't you give me $5? It's dumb. Just appreciate the fact that something good happened. He did it for the views. He did it for his charity. Who cares? Who the fuck cares why he did it? You watched it. You enjoyed it. People can see now. Who cares?
Yeah. And I'm on your side, by the way, of this. Mm. It is also, it's a cyclical thing because of the way he creates stuff. Mm-hmm. He makes his profits and then he uses those profits to then be helpful for the most part in a lot of the videos. And then it comes back around so that he can be more helpful later. How is that not a positive?
I am not a Mr. Beast fanboy. Like, I subscribe to his one channel. I think he's got like the most channels on YouTube. It's insane.
Oh my God.
He has.
But what I'll say is he also lives pretty frugally. Like, he lives in an apartment at the office where he films videos. Like, he doesn't own a big house or drive a bunch of fancy cars. Like, he lives pretty chill. But again, even if he didn't, I still wouldn't care because, A, it's his money and his business. He can run that how he wants. And in fact, he's doing something to help people where most people running their businesses are hurting people.
Yeah, I think it reminds me a little bit of, there's the Friends episode where they talk about, is there such thing as a selfless good deed?
That's a good episode.
Yeah, every good deed is always like, so it's funny because I understand like the sort of distaste of like, you know, as an example, ages ago, my roommates and I made like sack lunches and like gave them out to the homeless. And like a lot of my roommates like posted pictures and stuff of it. And I just didn't because like, it's not like that makes me better or anything. I was just kind of like, yeah, I mean, who cares? Like, I don't necessarily need to put this out into the world. On the other hand, putting it out into the world isn't always a bad thing either. Because whether or not, you know, you're making money from it, like, well, then other people can be like, oh, cool. Like, maybe I should go do that. You know, like, it can inspire more people to also do good things. And I think, like, if you're going to debate, companies being charitable or any of that shit, like, a lot of that stuff's bullshit in different ways anyway, right? You know, like, a charity is essentially, a lot of times, not like a real charity, but let's say like, you know, a major corporation has like a charitable arm. That's like tax deductions for them. That is still self-interested, you know? So even if they are doing good things, like, and to I think Brock's point, that doesn't negate the good things.
Right.
Like, good things are still getting done, assuming that they actually are good things and the things are actually getting done. Because I think sometimes that's where that line gets a little tricky, where people are like, you know, and a good example of that maybe is like where sometimes people will get a lot of charity from like a TV news story or something like that. And sometimes that doesn't work. Where it almost reminds me of like a bar rescue situation, right? We're like, oh, we fixed your bar, but the bar goes under because you never like fixed the underlying problems, you know, like that kind of thing. And so there's a line.
Was it Bono?
That's a more complicated conversation, though.
Was it Bono that like his whole charitable organization came under flame because he didn't actually donate to any cancer research? All he did was bring awareness to it. Like,
oh, interesting. I could see that for sure. And it's like, and there's always going to be like well-meaning people who aren't actually doing anything. A good example is like when, like, you know, missionaries go into different places and like build homes. It's like, were you teenagers actually know how to build fucking homes? Are you just going in there like, you know, to make yourself feel good? So I think there's a lot of different layers to it. But to answer Lou's actual question, I also don't disagree with like the general premise that just because it's being filmed for content or he's making money off of doing good things, like, oh, well, if he's still actually doing good things, then that's fine.
It's just,
it's better than the people doing random public pranks on people. Like,
oh, I hate that so much. Like, actual, there's just such a disparity in what pranks are, what you consider a prank.
Sure.
Like,
for sure.
There's some funny stuff, like the ones with the twins where they do a switcheroo on people just to confuse them. That's a funny prank. No one got hurt. Like, sure. You know, there was some asshole at the airport that was doing a prank or something like that, and then the person who was getting quote unquote pranked was like kind of like shushing him off, and then he ended up like getting pissed and attacking the prankster guy. Somebody else was filming it, and then basically like airport security like jumped on the guy getting pranked because he had to attack like the asshole. Right.
I mean, a lot of that stuff, like, that's a whole different problem we have in the modern world in terms of, like, how much people are, like, making content for no reason or, like, causing trouble for people. There's a lot of that, unfortunately, because that's a different story, though. That's a whole different conversation.
But to be clear, not all of his videos are like that's sure. An extreme example of like super good being done for, you know, with creating content.
I mean, he does a lot versus, of those like last hand on the car wins the car kind of wins videos. The car. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's like both good and yeah.
It's like you're watching a game show at that point. There's no difference in watching that and Wheel of Fortune. Like,
so
yeah, it's exploitive in a different way, but I get it.
Yeah, a lot of the critique, for example, of the video for the Squid Games thing was, hey, did you not watch the show? Like, what the show is about? And then you're creating content based on like people's like desperate to get money, you know, to a degree. And I'm like, it's completely different. No one's, you know, like, it's
also like
no one died.
So much, so much of reality TV in general is based around like people's desperation.
Somebody watched Survivor
and is exploitive, or American Idol. Yeah. Like a lot of the appeal of the early American Idol is the fact that most people actually can't sing, and you watch them like crash and burn. You know, like there's a lot of that, and so I mean. I'm not saying that's good or right, but it's not new, I guess, is the point. It's not, like, exclusive to YouTube.
But I think we all agree, if kind acts are happening, great, good. Kind acts should happen, but who cares if they're making money off of them? Cool. So, cool. Lou's occasionally interesting question of the week rating is brought to you by GettaThreads.com. Go to GettaThreads.com right now for a great GettaThreads special where you can buy any two and get your third for free, which is great.
Wow, so, what a great deal. Yeah, that's incredible. You should all go to GettaThreads.com.
GettaThreads.com. Go put two in your cart, pick out a third one, get it completely free. And make sure you use promo code Ultra for free store-wide shipping.
Oh, wow.
Mike's Hard Gamecast recommends Deep Slumber for your first pair.
Lou looks so excited.
GettaHorse.com/MHGC for an extra 40% off those deals.
Stop advertising. We're never going to get any real advertisers.
It was a good question. I'll say seven Lou's.
All
right. Go to Mike's Hard Gamecast or go to GettaHorse.com/7Lose for 70% off your next
time. Why are you doing it? No! No! Cracked it a goodie! What the fuck?
Oh, boy.
Oh, Lord.
We're not good at this. Yep. Like, yeah. Advertising. GettaHorse.com.
Oh, man. I had to throw in a real one for Lou at some point. Yeah, I appreciate it.
If anyone can decipher which one was the real one, you win.
It was the one where Lou was not trying to stop me from talking.
All of those advertisements that Brock did before, during, and after the segment.
I didn't.
By the way,
there's just the one.
Get a Threads is a real thing.
It is a real company. GetaThreads.com.
It's just good. In case you just thought we were bullshitting this for 63 episodes. By the way, GettaThreads is a real thing.
Jeez, that's your statement.
What a way to sound like a legitimate company. No, it's real, guys. Promise.
GettaThreads.com. Definitely a real thing.
Yeah. Check it out.
Not a virus.
I'm gonna go in and change it so that when you type in GettaThreads.com, it goes to the Mike's Hard Gamecast page.
Yes.
Redirect.
Well, guys, it's come to that.
You never.
Time.
Oh, you said seven lose. You said it.
I did seven lose. It's come.
Nice.
To the end of the episode.
Where we face the final curtain.
Where we face this music! Welcome to the Pramble. It's good to be here. Welcome to the Pramble.
Pomble?
Oh, it is Pomble. Pramble's? Pomble. No. It's Preamble. Yeah. Pramble. Yeah, you're right. Oh, man. Yeah. Cut that out.
Look, welcome to put that song in the beginning.
I wanted to mention this because we had a technical issue before, but I am actually glad that none of my friends are penis showing.
Oh yeah, we never got back to that. What does that mean?
I think we just leave it.
No.
I know.
Didn't you have something to say, Brock? You gave us some weird cliffhanger tease at the end of last episode.
I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, of course you don't. I knew that was never going anywhere.
I'll have to listen to the episode, and then I'll tell you next week.
Do you guys have any penis showers?
What is a penis showing friend?
What do you think? I mean, it's pretty obvious. Like, it's just a friend who
like they show you
bust
pictures?
Out the penis.
Oh, they show theirs. They bust theirs out.
Yeah, they bust out their penis.
Do you know to, like, lots of people who regularly show their penis?
I'm saying I don't, but I know it's a thing, and especially around like they think it's funny, right?
Like it's a thing in the sense that like the 90s made it funny on movies and TV, but I don't know how many people actually do it in real life.
We're not really like, I mean, I know, do you recall, I was just thinking back to freshman year, Brock was definitely, at least at that point, was a commando type guy. So he was definitely a crack showing guy.
Brock, you... Oh, I still show some mean crack.
We
talked about this before, though, it's fat guy problems.
Yeah.
You were talking about Brockmire, and Brockmire busted out his penis and put it on someone's forehead.
But that was a TV show. What I'm saying is I don't think a lot of this happens in reality.
If you comics have stories and they do that, that's the type of person that does it. But
sure, some people
like
some
Bobby Lee is a notorious penis shower.
It's fair.
Well, I appreciate that we are not.
None of us are penis showers. Yeah, on that note, I wish we had a video podcast right now, because then we could definitely do a visual gag that would not work otherwise. Like, everyone just starts standing up.
I wish at some point in my life I had gotten like a dildo gag gift, right? And then I could just like slowly raise it into the view of the camera right now.
Please
like.
Cut it. Please cut the podcast, right? Ren Lou says, I wish at some point in my life I had gotten a dildo. That's when it ends. That's just when it ends. We don't need the rest of it. Just cut it right there.
No.
Please. No, please.
We're done. That's it. Oh my God.